1-800-831-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Jacksonville at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board as we face the issues each day. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion as we face the issues. It's always a joy to have you call in, give your input. Some call it putting in your 2 cents worth. Well, that's all right. You can put in a nickel's worth, quarter's worth, but we'd love to have your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're going to be talking about today things we need to know. That's a pretty broad subject. That leaves it with kind of an open mic that you can join in with things that you think that we need to know as Christians, conservatives, as patriots, as Americans, but primarily as Christians, because as we face the issues on this broadcast each and every day, it's done from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? What does God have to say about what we're doing in this old world? Is God interested? Is he listening? Is he watching? Is he in control? Or is the government the one that's really in control? What are your views on that? What is your take on that? How should we respond? We'll be looking at today, as an outset of this broadcast, we'll be talking about the Supreme Court's oral arguments. They're listening to the oral arguments on President Trump's immunity. So what are your thoughts? Does a president have total blanket immunity when he's in as the president? Or should he be afraid that when he leaves office, he'll be persecuted, prosecuted, challenged, and the chance to put him to death, as some are doing on the socialist Marxist media? Should President Trump at this moment be prosecuted for things that he's done as president? If that's the case, should Joe Biden be prosecuted even now for the things he's doing? Is there an immunity for all presidents or just for some? Do we look at it on the basis that lawfare under one administration is all right to use the power of the DOJ and the FBI to persecute and prosecute the one that was formerly in office? If that's the case, we're going to devolve very rapidly into a Marxist dictatorship. And we're on the verge of that today. And I don't know about you, but I'm concerned as a Christian. I'm concerned as a Christian pastor. I'm concerned as a patriot. I'm concerned as a conservative as to the direction that we're going in as a nation. Now, I'm delighted that the Supreme Court's decided to hear the oral arguments on part of the case today. But ladies and gentlemen, if they make a ruling rapidly, it could be too late for President Donald J. Trump's immunity to take effect. Because there's the fast track, especially in the case where Trump is forced to sit in court each and every day, where President Trump will face the tragic results if they find him guilty of even the potentiality of being locked up. Can you picture him in a yellow or red, orange jumpsuit, taking the oath, swearing him in as the 47th president? That's what they want to see. That's the image they want to portray. That's what they want to show. So we're going to be talking about that today and other issues that are germane to what I call a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview, in case you've not heard me say, is where we look at everything that's taking place in America and around the globe. We view it not based on what the government says, not based on what Communist Network News tell us, not based on what the philosophers might say, not based on what some denominational dogma might believe. But what does the Bible say? What does God have to say about it? Listen, from Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 22:20, God's word is very, very clear. God created the home, God created civil government, and God created the church. And so, ladies and gentlemen, anything between the covers of the Bible, from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis to Revelation 22:20, it's God speaking. We need to listen. Central Biblicist worldview means that what we see, what we hear, what is taking place in the world, we view it based on the authority of the Scripture. It was the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32 that made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Then in John 17:17, ladies and gentlemen, a de facto declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that should endure, and it does forever. But we have a society today that doesn't believe in absolute truth. Goes back to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing that come to full fruition even today. But listen, Psalms 117 verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And I'm reminded as I look at a picture here of the back of a large truck, happened to have been in Oregon where the truck was photographed, says truth matters, and truth really matters today perhaps more than any other time in the history of America or the world for that matter. But it's the younger generation that should frighten us as conservative Christians and patriots. It's the younger generation today that's been brainwashed and indoctrinated with the socialist Marxist media and through the socialist Marxist professors. And that brainwashing has the 50%, in fact, I think it's 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that make this statement, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset through the modern generation that says that truth does not really matter, that you can bifurcate it, that you can scrutinize it, determine what portions of that truth matter you want to inculcate. But ladies and gentlemen, I've said before, may I repeat at the risk of redundancy, a half-truth is a whole lie. Therefore, we need to understand what God's Word says in relationship to what we're seeing, what is taking place in the world today. Perhaps you say, well, you know, I can't get involved in politics. I'm a pastor. I can't get involved in politics. I might embarrass somebody, or I might hurt somebody's feelings, and they'd leave the church. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have 2 minutes of empathy, sympathy, or passion, compassion, for those that take that mindset. That indicates an ignorance of the Word of God, an ignorance of the Scripture. Anything about civil government we call today politics is biblical. Keep in mind, God created civil government. Why did God create civil government? To protect the good and to prosecute the evil. According to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 in particular, God even instituted capital punishment in Genesis chapter 9. If you take a life, your life is to be taken. We have our prison system filled today because we're not being obedient to the Word of God. We're trying to circumvent God's law, God's Word. In fact, for your edification and for at the risk of redundancy in my repeating it, civil government was created by God to be God's servants. Hear me, a servant is the word slave, doulos, in the Greek text. That means it surrenders to the will of the master. We have a society today and governmental systems today that ignore our Constitution. That's bad. But ignoring God's word, and it's even worse. And yet we're creating and instituting laws in America today that are contrary to the Word of God. And it comes out of the churches, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe God holds responsible. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. This is in part of what Senator Jim DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Then he goes further to say, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus makes some powerful statements. He said this, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." This is the reason we need to go back to what I call the truth book. Less than 100 years ago in what was called Bible school at that time, the kids would stand up and sing, the B-I-B-L-E, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Bible is the source book for everything that we should do, believe, and carry out in America. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing atop of that pole. Find the flag in the flagpole, the base of the flag in the flagpole, and you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application of employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, right after a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion, lest I forget it. Let me give you that telephone number right now, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd be delighted to entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Things that we need to know. What are some of the things that you think we need to know as Christians, as conservatives, and as patriots? What do you think we need to know today about what is happening with the oral arguments with the U.S. Supreme Court? Why the oral arguments now? Why didn't they do this sooner? What is the motivation behind that? Will the Supreme Court finally, ultimately, be in control of the three branches of government? Listen, I'm watching with great disdain as everything that we do in the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America, it ultimately works its way to the U.S. Supreme Court for the court to decide. Will that law stand? Will we do this? Can you do that? Can you do the other? Ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court does not make law. They form opinions. There's no place in the Constitution that says that we need to follow an opinion of the Supreme Court. Now, that has two sides that cut both ways. Joe Biden has listened several times to the Supreme Court saying that you cannot give taxpayer money to somebody that owes a debt called a college debt. You cannot do it. But yet he's doing it. Supreme Court ruled that he can't. He's doing it. Why? Because the Supreme Court can make an opinion, render an opinion. They do not make law. But yet it seems that conservatives, Christians, patriots, Republicans think that when the Supreme Court speaks, we need to bow and bend and kiss the ring of the U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice. And that's simply not what is the constitutional law. That is not what our three branches of government say. We have three branches of government. Those three branches of government are designed to have tension between each so that neither of the three rule a nation. We have devolved from a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. We've devolved to that, from that to a democracy, which is mob rule. And that's where we are today. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to pay very close attention of the current events, especially in the recent oral hearings at the U.S. Supreme Court. Today's Supreme Court oral arguments will decide whether or not Donald J. Trump can continue in safety and security and the protector from the human standpoint of our liberties. The question is, and this is the question that's being discussed today with the U.S. Supreme Court. Here's the question. Does the President of the United States have immunity for his actions as president? End quote. That's the question. That's the question. What do you think? What is your thought? What are your thoughts? Did Donald J. Trump form an insurrection? Is Trump guilty of trying to overthrow an election? Is President Trump guilty for taking a stand with First Amendment rights? Is President Trump guilty of an insurrection when the People's House, when people across America entered into the People's House called the U.S. Capitol? So those are the questions that's going to be resolved, must be resolved. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, you have to ask the question. This has been almost 4 years now that this has been dragging on. Why is it now that the Supreme Court's just hearing it? Why is it now that they're having the court cases that President Trump cannot leave the courtroom? Why is it now, in the last 180 days of an election campaign, where President Trump is leading in every poll and just about every state on just about every issue? Why is it now that they're tying his feet, handcuffing him to a bench in a courtroom? Why is it now? If you thought about that, what are your thoughts? What are your opinions? Where do you stand? What are things that we need to know today that we need to talk about? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Morning, good morning.
Yes, it's Satan. Because, number one, Joe Biden was a senator. He took away classified documents. When he was vice president, he took away classified documents. And I think it was like a trailer that they had to get. Mar-a-Lago. Okay, but the president can take away classified documents. And they are using this. It's sad. It's sad. They're trying to, like you said, try to turn us into a socialist society, which is communism. It's like the Black Lives Matter girl said that they're raised up in Marxism. And this, the universities, I'm so scared for my grandkids and my great-grandkids if I live long enough to see them. And they go to school, they have to have a strong, rural, physical view of what's happening. But they said that Joe Biden wasn't capable of a standing trial right now because he's incapacitated or whatever they said. But what he did when he was a senator and a vice president. And so that's a double standard to me.
It's a double standard, and you hit the nail right on the head, Kenneth. I commend you for that. Because you had Joe Biden for about 50 years stealing documents as a senator, as a vice president, and as a president. Having documents that are exposed to the Communist Party and the his office in the Penn Center in Pennsylvania, where they had access, and where the communist government supported by mega millions of dollars that operation. He had his some of the documents he bragged about being in his garage, where his Corvette, 67 Corvette, well, I believe it is, stays parked.
That's crazy. And
it is crazy. It's a fruitcake. It's an El Nutso, as I'd call it. And yet he, by the way, the thing that is, should not be a shock, but it is, I'm looking at an article that says documents show that Joe Biden colluded with prosecutors over Mar-a-Lago's raid. even as legal and criminal questions being raised about the classification government documents that Joe Biden had kept from his years of vice president without permission and authorization. He was colluding with prosecutors to attack President Trump over documents that he kept from his presidency, newly available evidence shows us. The Biden classified documents case came to an abrupt conclusion when a special prosecutor confirmed that Biden likely had willfully and knowingly kept those documents illegally. Biden even boasted to a ghostwriter that he had them and read parts of the secret papers to the writer. But the special prosecutor recommended against any charges because Biden's diminished capacity, end quote. But the case against Trump, who as president actually had the authority to declassify documents at will, had exploded into full-blown federal criminal case with multiple charges from Democratic attorney Jack Smith. Now, there are reports that the Biden White House had direct ties to Mar-a-Lago raid. The Biden regime was also directly tied to Jack Smith's investigation, despite the claims to the contrary from the U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland's office. Is Joe Biden directly pushing the legal troubles for President Trump? End quote. That's a question that's asked. That's the assessment which confirmed Judge Eileen Cannon's hearing the documents case against Trump ordered key parts of the evidence to be unredacted and released. Goes on and on with the article. The point is confirming what you're saying, Kenneth, and it goes further that I don't believe the general public had any earthly idea that the Mar-a-Lago raid and the carrying that out through the DOJ's office, Merrick Garland, and the FBI was directly related to, directly responsible for, out of the Biden administration, out of the Oval Office, with day by day, moment by moment, if you please, blow by blow, if you please, direction from Joe Biden that is prosecuting your political enemy. And that's never been the case for the United States of America. And Kenneth, one further thought on that. The thing that aggravates me is the fact that if and when, and I believe Trump will win the election, okay, if he's seated in the Oval Office, that's another question. Because Democrats have already said 57%, hear me, 57% of the Democrats have already said that they will not certify Trump as the president if he is elected. We're watching the stage being set for civil war. We're watching the stage being set for war in the streets. And I've got several other reasons and rationale behind saying that. But we're in a political position today that you protect those that's in your party and you prosecute those that are against where you stand. We're finding that in state after state. We're finding that with the Biden administration against Trump, and yet we do not do anything. There's no prosecution taking place against Biden, no prosecution taking place against any of the Biden acolytes that's out there carrying out the henchman's orders. So we have a dual system, dual legal system in America today, rather than it being as God created, where government is designed to protect the good and prosecute the evil. We're watching the evil being protected and the prosecution of Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for joining in the dialogue and discussion today. And by the way, let me add a footnote before you ask your question. The footnote is simply this: as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, we need to pray and pray and pray some more, asking for God's, once again, as he did in 2016, divine intervention into this election. If we fail in this election to control our nation by way of constitution and law, and not lawfare, but by law, we have lost it as a nation. And as one writer said, it could very well be the last election America would ever have if we lose this election. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, I was going to ask the same thing. Because hopefully, I pray to God that President Trump get in there. But all these illegal aliens that are getting like $1,500 a month with their cars or whatever, and taken care of. As a matter of fact, I think it's in New York and I think Chicago, that it made the kids get out of schools and get homeland schooling so they could put illegals in. And I mean, that is silly to me.
Well, Kenneth, here's the bottom line to that. I'm looking at a headline that touches on what you're saying. Organization tells illegals to vote for Biden so that they can stay in America. Let me just read two paragraphs. An advocacy group based in northeastern Mexico that lobbied U.S. lawmakers to distribute and posted flyers encouraging illegal immigrants to vote for Joe Biden in 2024, according to the Heritage Foundation Oversight Project. Translated from Spanish, the Oversight Project notes, the flyers posted the organization's resource center's memo said this, reminded the voters for President Joe Biden, when you are in the United States, vote. We need another 4 years of his term to stay for you to stay in America. So they're already planning for the illegal invaders to vote. And it is the illegal invaders by the millions that will vote for Joe Biden because they're being told to do so. And Joe Biden has already issued by fiat about 5 million green cards and ID worker cards, along with the free cell phone, the free education, free medical care, and an opportunity to work in America. So we're watching right now the intent to overthrow the 2024 election. No question about that. So what I'm saying is, Kenneth, for you and for each of our listeners, our only hope is God's divine intervention. Our only hope is to pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and ask God to heal our land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 tells us.
And think about it, Dr. Youngblood. The people that came over here legally, I think it took them about, five or seven years, become a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm. At least that.
They're just stepping on that. And if they give them green cards, I know. And that's illegal to me.
It is illegal. It's unconstitutional. Do you see, here's my problem, Kenneth. Do you see anybody bringing a suit against Joe Biden? Do you see anybody charging him with insurrection? See anybody, any group, any organization, any Republican with any standing at all, filing suit, challenging Joe Biden's insurrection, challenging Joe Biden's illegal acts, challenging Joe Biden as a dictator and not following the Constitution or the Bill of Rights? Nothing is being done with that. But yet, if President Donald J. Trump breathes, they charge him with breathing illegally. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call today. God bless you. We need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today things that we need to know. What are some of the things that you think that we need to know? I'm delighted, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, to have one of our four sons that's with us today. He has traveled from the southern tip of heaven to be with me in the studio today. And I'm thankful that Greg is here. Greg, I'm talking about today, we're talking about on the air, things that we need to know. Some of that is in talking about the oral argument. We've got about a minute and a half before our hard break for the news. Give us a little summary. What are these oral arguments about? What are they for? What they intend to do? Where do you think it's going?
Well, we're dealing with the potential of presidential immunity based on presidential acts. Understand even the allegations the left came out with, Chuck Schumer being the apex of the accusers, said that Trump was guilty of insurrection. Well, based on what actions? Was it because he challenged the election? Was it because he said there was some fraud in the election? Because he made phone calls saying, hey, look into this? Was that the insurrection? Because, by the way, all those things were done while he was president of the United States. Article 2 from the Constitution covers the executive branch of our government. And among other things, it says that the president is to see that the laws be faithfully executed. Mm-hmm. If he did not ask those questions, if he did not pursue a remedy, if he did not challenge those things, he would not have been fulfilling his oath of office. Now, to the contrary, we see that this man that's occupying the office today is not fulfilling his oath of office because he is not seeing that the laws be faithfully executed. You step back two presidents ago to Barack Obama. He entered office and said he would not faithfully execute the laws because he said, I will not enforce DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act. And we got Obergefell, which allowed, not just allowed homosexual marriage, forced it upon all 50 states. So you see what happened when we fail to obey the dictates of that little four-page document, how things come unglued so very rapidly. just absolutely falls apart because of a lack of adhering to the Constitution.
And yet there's no prosecution, there's no charges being made against Joe Biden. We a lot of flack, a lot of talk, a lot of things are saying I don't like that, but yet he's not being charged with it. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to take a minute's break for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more,